But you didn't know who they were. You didn't know when they were coming. You didn't know when they would leave. You didn't even know quite what message they'd been given, what they were supposed to go discover about the peoples, you see, on whom they were spying. But in any case, this was a very effective way of making sure that people at the local level were behaving themselves. Now, mentioning these satraps and mentioning the fact that the Persians sometimes, not always, but sometimes left local people in charge raises another interesting point, something that'll recur again and again and again in future lectures, and it may be worth pausing just for a minute to put a little bit of focus on it right now. If you're going to create a large administrative structure, if you want to build an empire, if you want to build a kingdom, if you want to build a state, you're going to have help at the local level. Now, in building a state and in securing help at the local level, you have basically two choices. You can use your own people and send them out. At this stage, they have no connection to the local societies where they're working. They're not married into those societies. They didn't grow up there. They don't own property there. They have no local loyalties. They have no local interests. They're not going to sort of be sympathetic necessarily to the locals. They will be entirely loyal to the central administration, which has appointed them and sent them out. That's one theory. Generally speaking, it's reasonably effective, at least in some cases. The other theory is that what it is best to do, what it is wisest to do, most prudent to do, is raise up prominent local people. Precisely because they are anchored in the local society. They are married in that society. They own property in that society. They know the customs of that society. They know everybody's secrets. They know what's going on. And all of that local knowledge can be turned to your benefit. How? Well, if you're very clever, and the Persians were very clever at this, and we'll see in later lectures that the Romans were absolute masters at this, if you pick out people of some local prominence, of some local authority, of some local respect, and you elevate them very far beyond what they could ever have hoped to achieve at the local level on their own, they don't now all of a sudden change their stripes. They're not any longer not local people who know the local scene, but they're completely loyal to you because you can take away all that you gave them. And if you take away all that you gave them and reduce them to mere locals again after they've had power over the locals, things may not go so very well to them. So there is simultaneously a kind of a loyalty at the local level and to the central level. Well, the Persians, clever folk that they were, used both of these systems. Later on, we'll see the Romans blending both of these systems. We'll see rulers in medieval Europe using both of these systems. But always these are the two basic choices. I send my guys out there, or I find and promote people who are already out there. So, as I said, the Persians didn't go one way or the other. They blended the two systems. Now, the Persians, Persian success is attributable also to a number of other important developments. For instance, they created a very common system of weights and measures throughout this enormous empire. Now, I mean, any of us who travel, we go off on a holiday to Europe, and all of a sudden everything's in kilos and things, and we, whoops, how much is that? Now we have the new euro coinage in Europe, so we don't have to try to figure out how many lira make a dollar and all of those wonderfully complicated things that we used to have to figure out. But let's suppose, for example, you were traveling around the United States, and one state used the system of ounces and pounds, and another state used grams and kilograms. Well, it would be rather confusing, wouldn't it? It would be hard to trade. And how would you buy products? And, you know, if your breakfast cereal is made in a factory someplace, well, do they have to make two different boxes, one in kilos and one in pounds? Well, the point is that the example is not absurd. It would be very, very complicated. What if, for example, we had different money in our 50 states? And every time you crossed the state line, you have to change your money and reorganize yourself and rethink how to do things at the local level. Well, what the Persians did is create a not absolutely 100% unified, but a very substantially unified system of weights and measures throughout this vast empire, which facilitated trade in crucial ways. They created a single coinage throughout this vast empire, which again facilitated trade, facilitated travel, facilitated the building and the maintaining of an effective state. They built roads. The great royal road ran from the Persian capital city of Persepolis right up to the Mediterranean coast of Anatolia, right up to actually where those Greeks lived, with whom the Persians got themselves mixed up, as we'll see in a later lecture. Well, building roads facilitated travel. Now, it's perfectly true, point of fact, that the Persians didn't build their roads because they were just benevolent and thought this was a good idea. They built these great roads because you could move armies long distances fast. Precisely why the Romans, for example, built their great road system. The Romans didn't build those roads so that later on people would admire them. They built those roads in order to move troops in a big hurry. But in any case, other benefits flowed from the creation of the Persian road system. There's no question about that. The Persians undertook some other smaller gestures, for example, but nevertheless I think important ones. The language of administration through the Persian Empire was Aramaic, not Persian. Now, Aramaic is another Semitic language. Persian is not. The Aramaic is another Semitic language, and it had become, over a very wide area of the Near East, over a long period of time, a kind of lingua franca. All right?